Well, here we go. A sad day in the history of the Catholic Church. Pope Francis, well, it's been revealed that this film coming out, Francesco, which is a biopic documentary of Pope Francis, in this film, he endorses the legality of civil unions. Real quick, I'll just tell you what he says. Again, I haven't seen the film. I'm just reporting what's been reported. He's interviewed in this film, Francesco, and he says that those who are same-sex attracted have a right to be a part of the family and have a right to a family. He says nobody should be thrown out or be made miserable because of it. What we have is a civil union law. That way, they are legally covered. So that is Francis. That's what he holds. And people are saying, how can this be? How can it be that a pope would go against the Catechism of the Church, against the Epistle to the Romans by St. Paul, and go against the 2003 declaration from the Holy Office, Congregation Doctrine of Faith, that says that respect for homosexual persons cannot lead to any way to approval of homosexual behaviors or to legal recognition of homosexual unions. That was issued by the Vatican in 2003 under Pope John Paul II by the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith. So under John Paul II's pontificate, we have there can be no legal recognition of homosexual unions. And then in 2013, we have Francis, who says what we have is a civil union law. That way they are legally covered, end quote. So one set, it's an exact opposite. And I have been chronicling for years now, the contradictions of what Pope Francis has said and what previous popes have said and what scripture has said and what tradition has said. And guess what? People make fun of me. I don't get invited to hardly any conferences anymore. People don't call me back. Marshall's crazy. Marshall's an extremist. Marshall made up this conspiracy theory so that he could sell a book. And he made up this conspiracy that in the church, priests, bishops, cardinals, and even the Pope himself have been infiltrated by a secular ideology that reflects the world and not the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And here we are, 2020, and every single day in the news and in Twitter, we see last week we had priests fornicating with two satanic witch dominatrixes on the altar. A couple days ago, two churches were burned down by Antifa anti-government socialists in Santiago, Chile. And the hits don't stop coming. And the hardest thing of all, Catholics, is the leader, the Papa, says nothing. And when he does say something, it pulls the rug out right beneath us. Here's the movie poster for this new film coming out, Francesco. I'll blow it up for you. You can see it. Super cute, guys. Super cute. You can watch the trailer online. Notice that they included a tweet on the movie poster. It's both on the vertical and the horizontal poster. And the tweet says, I invite you not to build walls, but bridges, to conquer evil with good, offense with forgiveness, to live at peace with everyone. That's that. Now, I'm going to tell you how this also happens to relate to the election, the re-election of Donald Trump, or the election of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris here in America. I received very, very good information this morning. I can't reveal how I received it, that it relates to this election as well. Before we get to that, though, I want to invite everyone to pray with me. We're going to pray the Our Father in Latin. People say, Marshall, why do you do that in Latin? You're such a snob. Or do you think Latin is magical? Or do you think Latin is better than vernacular, et cetera? Look, we pray Latin in Latin. I don't always pray in Latin. I pray in English. I pray in Latin. I prayed in Spanish. I prayed in Greek. I'm trying to learn the Aramaic Our Father. But there's three languages on the cross where Christ was crucified. Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek, and Latin. Those three languages, they were actually nailed onto the cross with Jesus. So they are important, and we do need to revere them. Latin's a dead language. And you'll notice that one of the things that Pope Francis has been doing over there in Italy is he's changing the words of the Our Father. He's changing the part, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I'm going to give that two thumbs down. Now, what's wonderful about Latin is it's a dead language and we don't change it. So the Latin is the Latin. Pope Francis, he could try to change the Latin, but he doesn't care. So the vernaculars have all this slippage, you know, and here in America and other countries, they totally, completely undermine the theology of redemption when they change the words of consecration to for all instead of for many. That's a lie. That's not biblical. That's not what Christ said. So vernacular opens up to error. And also, there's how many, almost 5,000 people watching. Not everyone's American. Not everyone speaks English. So we all come together. The language of Mother Church is Latin. Let's do it. Oremus. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Pater Noster, qui es in caelis, sanctificetur nomen tuum, adveniat regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cielo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis odie, et dimitte nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, se libera nos a malo. Amen. Almighty God, we pray for the Holy Catholic Church, for her to be pure and without blemish. We pray for Francis Bergoglio, that you would convert his heart, lead him to all truth, and help him to lead the church into all truth, all goodness, all beauty. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Well, just a couple days ago, I also had to report that on October 13th, which is the commemoration of the miracle of the sun, beautiful, beautiful Fatima miracle, biggest miracle, public miracle, since Moses led the people across the Red Sea. And on that day, Pope Francis, did he commemorate with Our Lady of Fatima anything? No, he commemorated with a Pachamama coin. I covered that in a video as well. It's shameful. It's disgusting. I hate it. I just don't understand. I feel like he's trolling us. Also today, October 21st, if you like this video, Facebook is going to suppress it because of the title. So please like it. Hit the like button and that'll help. But the best thing you can do is share this video. So right next to the like button is a share. Please share it on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook is even better because this video is not going to get any play in the YouTube universe or in the Facebook universe or in the Twitter universe. So make sure you manually share it or it's going to go nowhere. And people need to hear this. People are hurting and people are confused. So please share this on Facebook. And if you're new, please subscribe and hit the bell button. You'll be notified. So 1 year ago, October 21st, the Pachamama idols were thrown into the Tiber River. Thanks be to God. I didn't mention it at first, and some people have criticized me over that. I just didn't want, to take praise or glory or have anybody judge my intentions on it. I just wanted the Pachamamas out, and I had become friends with a good man, Alexander Chugowell. And we had been talking about plans and how to get this done. We were hoping a priest, a cardinal, a bishop, someone in Rome who had the one true faith would go into these churches, grab them and throw them away or burn them or throw them in the river or something. But nothing was happening. And so the good Alexander Chugowell and his friend, there was two of them, They said, we're going to do it. We want to do it, but we can't get there. We need money. We don't have the money. And I said, all right, I'll fund this thing. And I wired them some money, and they went and they did it. And praise God. And it pushed the modernists, and it pushed Francis into a corner. Francis came out later and apologized, not to offending the Catholic community for idolatry, but for those who were offended by the destruction of the Pacha idols. So embarrassing. So embarrassing. And then, of course, we've been dealing with everything with COVID and Corona and the shutdowns, and we're now seeing that so much of this was, yes, it's a real illness. Alexander Chugwell, who threw the Pachas into the river, he got Corona, and he got real sick. He got pneumonia. He was hospitalized. He was in a bad place. You'll remember he came on after he recovered, and he told how bad his COVID infection was. Dan Burke had it. I had COVID. My whole family had COVID-19. I made videos while I had COVID. I didn't tell anyone I had COVID. Back then I had COVID. And we're now seeing that although it's a real disease and it's highly contagious, what we've seen now is a lot of social engineering has been done in the name of COVID, both in the government, and I'm not talking about America, I'm talking about everywhere, and in the church, But there is a silver lining to it, and that is people all over the world, especially here in the United States, while there was a lockdown and they couldn't get confession, they couldn't go to mass, they couldn't get the sacraments, guess what they did? They started live streaming masses, and they began to discover that the really great sermons and the beautiful live stream masses were the traditional Latin mass. And as things began to open up again, guess what these people did? They drove to the traditional Latin mass. And I've heard from people that in traditional Latin mass communities, the attendance has in some places doubled, tripled, and one place quadrupled since COVID. Because people don't want to receive on the hand. People don't want to be forced to wear a mask while they worship Almighty God in the mass. And people want reverence and priests who will actually hear their confessions and visit them if they're sick. And they're finding that in the traditional Latin mass. So there's a bit of a backfire. Now, all day long when this news came out that Pope Francis said, I'll read it for everyone coming in late. A couple thousand people have come in since then. When Francis was being interviewed for this film, Francesco, he says that homosexuals not only have a right to be part of the family, but also have a right to a family. Nobody should be thrown out or made miserable because of it. What we have to have is a civil union law. That way they are legally covered, end quote. So that's what everybody's talking about. And I've been getting direct messages and emails and phone calls and texts all day. Oh my goodness, Marshall, what are we going to do? Oh my goodness, look, this we had idols on an altar a year ago, okay? That's worse. Idolatry is in a way worse than immorality, sexual immorality. They're both going to send you to hell. They're both mortal sins. But idolatry is a direct affront to God. In fact, Romans chapter 1, St. Paul says that it's idolatry that leads to same-sex attraction. It's right there in Romans chapter 1. He says, when you give up worshiping the Creator, you worship the creation. Wait for it. When you give up worshiping the Creator, you start worshiping the creation, and then God hands you over to unnatural lusts, men seeking men, women seeking men, women. It's all in Romans chapter 1, people, the whole theology of it. And I talked about this the other day. I talked about how in the old days in Rome, there was the Mother Earth cult, the good Mother Earth cult. I'm not calling it good. They called it that. And the priesthood for the Mother Earth were castrated men who wore makeup and pranced around and had a woman's gait, walked like a woman. St. Augustine tells us about it. I didn't make it up. It's historical. And now our church is turning to Mother Earth veneration, worship, idolatry. And what happens after that? Paul says it in Romans 1. Maybe I should pull it up so that you believe me. You know, we Catholics, we need to get into the Bible. You got to read the Bible every day, every single day. In the mornings now, I'm trying to tweet out Bible verses. Just get people into the Word of God. Let me pull this up for you here. I'm going to get Romans 1. And I'm going to put it on the screen. You're going to see how when you start worshiping creation, Mother Earth, it leads to same-sex attraction. And it's right there in the Bible. It's our theology of how we understand it. Okay, here we go. Romans chapter 1. I'm going to copy it. Copy it. Okay, hopefully this will all fit on the screen. Man, if you guys could see all the stuff on my screen that I juggle around, you'd be laughing. Okay, here we go. Let's see if this works. Oh my goodness, it's huge. All right, we're just going to deal with it. All right, verse 23. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the likeness of the image of a corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed beasts and of creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up to the desires of their heart, unto uncleanness, to dishonor their own bodies among themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Did you get that? Then what happens? Verse 26. For this cause God delivered them up to shameful affections, for their women have changed the natural use into that which is against nature. Verse 27. And in like manner, the men also, leaving the natural use of women, burned in their lusts one towards another, men with men, working that which is filthy, and receiving in themselves the recompense which was due to their error. This is Romans chapter 1, verses 23 through 27. Write it down. Put it in Evernote. Keep it. Okay? There it is. Put a bookmark in your Bible. That helps you understand our current crisis. So, what are we going to do? Pope Francis has directly contradicted what the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith issued in 2003. In 2003, the Congregation of Doctrine of the Faith says that respect for homosexual persons cannot in any way lead to approval of homosexual behavior or to legal recognition of homosexual unions, end quote. And yet Francis says, what we have to have is civil union law. That way they are legally covered. Now, I do want to go back here to Francis's quote. He says they have a right to be a part of the family. That's true. I think people who are struggling with same-sex attraction, they don't need to be shipped off to a leper colony. They can be included in the family. But part of anything in human nature which is disordered or broken, for example, if you have someone in your family who frequents houses of ill repute, someone in your family who sells drugs, someone in your family who is an alcoholic, so on and so forth, they can be part of your family as long as it's kept safe. But also part of the family is intervention. How do we help you? How do we get better? How do we order our 11 passions that God gave us underneath reason by the help of God's grace and get you on the path of sanctity and goodness? That's what a family does. Why doesn't Francis ever say that? I'm going to explain how this relates to Trump and Biden in just a minute. Nobody should be thrown out. Okay, I agree. We don't throw out people like trash. We help them. I totally agree. You look at a guy like Joseph Sciambra. This guy is reaching out, ministering to those who are same-sex attracted. He himself suffered this way. He has an amazing testimony. He's helping people not be thrown out, but to come into the church. But he's showing them the disordered, negative, destructive behavior that they're engaging in. That's how Catholics have done it for 2,000 years. Remember when Christ saved the sinful woman? And then what did he say at the end? Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. That's part of the gospel. You're saved. You're delivered. There's mercy for you. You repent. Go and sin no more. Go to confession. The priest says, I absolve you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. But implied in that is go and sin no more. Francis says, what we have to have is a civil union law. That way they are legally covered. Why? Why? You know, Francis and James Martin and even Bishop Barron, some people get mad, but I think people have now seen this past week what Bishop Barron's been putting out on voting, his video and then his voting guide. It's not good. It's seamless. It's Chicago's seamless garment. Bishop Barron is deceiving voters in America. There, I said it. He's deceiving voters in America. All these guys are consistent, though. In a lot of ways, they're more consistent than your neocon, conservative JP2 Catholics. Because James Martin and Francesco, it's obvious now, they say, look, we're going to change the death penalty doctrine. And all the JP2 generations like, cool, we're pro-life, we hate the death penalty too. But they never actually looked at what the church taught on the death penalty for 1,981 years. They just assume, well, John Paul had qualms with it. So yeah, throw it out, get rid of it, death penalty, death to death penalty. They don't realize that when you do that, what you're saying is popes can now remix the magisterium. Pope, you put on a new record and you start remixing, scratching that record. Once you do that, everything's on the table. So Francis, James Martin, been put in Bishop Barron. Bishop Barron was the one who announced the USCCB rejecting the death penalty. He was the voice of it. You say, every pope before Francis and John Paul II were wrong on the death penalty. They got it right. Everyone in the past got it wrong. In other words, we're going to do this new hermeneutic of rupture. And we, the new guys, who also happen to invite Native American shamans and the Dalai Lama and all and Mohammedans and all these people to come and worship with us, we're the right ones and everyone else is the wrong ones. Once you do that, why not then come along and say, well, you know, the death penalty was kind of archaic and out of touch. I know all the popes before us believed in it and defended it, but we got to get rid of it. Okay. And that's really pro-life. Oh, okay. 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 John Paul II, Francis. Okay. Now they're saying, well, you know, the church teaching on sexuality, homosexuality, that was archaic. We got to get rid of that too. People were saying, okay. James Martin's like, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, let's just, if we're going to revise the magisterium, we're going to revise the magisterium. But people who have kind of, you know, they were in that JP2 B16 generation. Now they're pumping the brakes and being like, whoa. And this is why I tweeted today, if you're confused and you don't know what to do, go and buy a catechism of the Council of Trent and read the whole thing. Of course, read the Bible too. The Bible's more important. And figure out what traditional Catholicism looks like. Because Catholicism, see, the thing about being a Catholic is we don't ever change the dogma or the moralities. 100% of what Jesus Christ and the 12 apostles taught, 100% is 100% the faith that we must believe in 2020. There is zero addition or subtraction to the deposit of faith that Christ handed to the apostles. If you don't believe that, you're not a Catholic. Now, we can clarify things over time. Can't change them. You can't say death penalty is permitted and then death penalty is inadmissible. Those are contradictions. However, St. Paul, the early apostles, they baptized everyone in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They worshiped the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And as time went on, we coined and canonized terminology like Trinity, homoousion, same substance, these kind of words. That way we could define the biblical apostolic teaching kind of using a shorthand term. Trinity. I believe in the Trinity. I believe that Christ, the second person in the Trinity, is consubstantial with the Father. See? So we can clarify the terms, but we can't change them, and we also can't evolve them. You'll hear some priests, semi-modernist or modernist priests, saying, dogma's always evolving. No, 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 no. There is no evolution of dogma. If you went and found a Catholic in AD 88, he would believe the exact same things you believe in 2020. It's the same faith. Now, you might start using some terminology like transubstantiation. He might not know it, not ever heard that term, because that term was canonized in 1215 AD. And you'd be like, well, when the priest says the words, the bread and the wine turn into the real body and blood of Jesus. And they would go, oh yeah, of course. Yeah. Believe that. Believe that. That's why the early pagans accused the Christians of cannibalism, because they heard that they were eating flesh and blood. Now, what are we going to do about it, and how does this relate to the campaign? I have on good authority that two things are happening with this announcement. Number one, this is thrown out there to sidetrack the trads like me. What they want to happen, here's what the modernists think will happen and what they want to happen. They want voices like me, voices like Vigano, voices like Schneider, Burke, LifeSite News. They want these traditional voices to say, aha, Pope Francis is most definitely not the Pope. Rome is in apostasy. Let us start a new church. In a way, they're trolling us with just silly little things like these coins on the Feast of Fatima, and then this stuff on the anniversary of the Pachamama to push us out. I have this on very good authority. You would be very impressed if you knew where I received this information. This is part of their plan. And I was warned, don't go on camera today and say, Pope Francis is the Antichrist. Start a new church. Now, I've said it before. It very may well be that Francis is not a valid pope. The resignation of Benedict may have had problems. The conclave may have had problems. McCarrick and a bunch of St. Gallen Mafia guys were campaigning for Bergoglio. That's a problem. It seems that Francis may have said things that are manifest heresy. That's a problem. So it could be, I entertain it, I've talked about it, it could be that Francis was never the Pope or he has lost the papacy. The problem is when you read Robert Bellarmine, and I'm going to do a show on this. I did a show a while back with Ryan Grant. I'm going to do another show on it. Robert Bellarmine goes over the five opinions of Catholic theologians on whether a pope can lose the papacy. Okay? Five opinions. And I'm going to go through all of those again because everyone's asking that question. The five opinions. Can a pope lose the papacy? These things may be the case, but as I say to my friends when we talk about this, I'm not a Protestant. I'm not infallible, and I go by the decrees of the church. If 100% of the cardinals on earth and the entire clergy of the Apostolic See in Rome say Francis is the Pope, I have to consider him as the Pope. This is why I say he is the putative Pope. I have to accept it objectively. It's an epistemological question. It's kind of like this. A couple is waiting on an annulment and they're 99.999% sure that this is a null marriage. Like really null. Maybe both of them like, we don't even believe in the sacrament when they got married. Well, they can't just go out and start dating people and marrying other people. They have to wait for the decree of nullity before they can act and date and try to marry someone else. Does that make sense? Even if they are almost certain of the case, sacramentally, they still have to wait for the decree of nullity. And I think some people get frustrated with how I approach this, but I'm kind of like, we need the decree. And when I do the show on Robert Bellarmine, I'll show how Bellarmine does say you need a general counsel to investigate and then declare that a pope has fallen from office. He says that. And that's basically my position. I could be wrong, but I think studying the issue, that's the majority issue, and it's Robert Bellarmine. He's kind of the expert on that. But I'm going to come back on that. I'll talk about can a pope lose his office and the five opinions on that matter. Now, the election in America. This is right now, Biden is hurting so bad. His son, Hunter, with the stories of crack and Eastern European prostitutes and all this millions and millions of money, his laptop, underage girls, all kinds of rumors swirling around. Biden is hurting really bad, and Trump is surging in the polls. Trump right now, on October 21st, is in the battleground states, which is all that matters. Don't look at the popular vote. All that matters is the Electoral College. In the battleground states, Trump is up 1% higher right now than he was against Hillary in 2016. And you know what happened in 2016? He beat Hillary in all of those states. So Trump is faring better right now than he was against Hillary 4 years ago. That means the Democrats, the Freemasons, the Socialists, the Communists, the UN, the EU, the Chinese are losing it. They're freaking out. They're about to lose once again to President Trump. And again, I think President Trump is like a Cyrus or a Constantine. He's not a saint. He's not a holy man. But for some reason, all the enemies on earth hate this man. And part of it, I think, is because he's pro-life and he's anti-globalism. This is, in a way, all the news agencies have been ignoring the Hunter Biden story, except for a few. The big one on New York Post went on Twitter. Twitter banned it. I've been telling you guys for about 6 months now that my YouTube channel, my Twitter, all this stuff gets throttled. That's why I ask you to share it manually. Hit the share button next to the like button. They are Google, Twitter, and Facebook, and Google owns YouTube. They are regulating all of this. They have algorithms and the smartest people coming out of the best schools writing algorithms to suppress speech. It's definitely happening. And one of the biggest swing group, perhaps the black vote in America is very important, but a bigger vote that's a swing vote is the Catholic vote. And Biden desperately needs that Catholic vote because it's a big vote in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan, and Ohio. He needs that vote so bad. So to have deflection from the Hunter Biden scandal, to have a pope rally to the Democrat cause in the 11th hour with 2 weeks to go in the election. You don't believe me? You think I'm making this up? You think I'm making this up? Taylor Marshall, conspiracy theorist again. Go to Twitter right now and click on trending. The number one trending story on Twitter right now is Pope Francis calls for same-sex unions. It is the biggest story right now. Everyone is sharing it. Everyone is tweeting it. Everyone's retweeting it. Everyone's saying, finally, a good pope, a merciful pope. Finally, the Catholic Church is on board. Rainbow flags, rainbows, everything. This is the biggest story. This story is eclipsing the Hunter Biden Trump story. And I also want to bring your attention to the fact of the timing of this film and the tweet. There's two purposes to this tweet. I'm going to blow it up again for you, Big. This is the movie poster for the Francis documentary. Maybe they got the guy who made the Elton John documentary with Peter Pence. Maybe he helped with this film. I don't know. Just speculation. So they put a tweet on the movie poster. It's on the horizontal and the vertical movie poster. This is the horizontal movie poster. What are they doing here? Two things. One, they're saying that the tweets of Francis matter. The tweets of Francis are quasi-magisterial. If you want to know what Francis thinks and what's important in the Catholic Church, go read his tweets. Who are the two biggest tweeters on earth? At least in the political realm, Francis and Trump. They're the biggest tweeters. So there's a little bit of a war going on. If you're not on Twitter, I don't know if you I'm not telling you to get on Twitter. Twitter is a shootout. Twitter is rough. Twitter, you have to have a thick skin to be on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter, Taylor R. Marshall. There's two R's in there. Taylor R. Marshall. So they're saying that his tweets are important because everyone on Catholic Answers and all the conservative places, what are they all saying? Oh, the tweets don't matter. Tweets are a tweet. And I agree, tweets don't matter. Tweets are a tweet. But this biopic is saying, yeah, tweets do matter. Okay, now look what else it says. I invite you not to build walls. Pause. Who wants to build walls? Trump. Donald J. Trump wants to build a wall on the southern border of the U.S. I live on the southern border of the U.S. I'm in Texas. I want a wall because I don't like drug trafficking in my state. And I don't like sex trafficking in my state. And I don't like orphans and single moms and broken families being left in this state. It is not good for anyone. So put a wall up with a door and people can line up and enter this country properly without being carried through in a 108 degree 18 wheeler or being raped by four coyotes, these women and boys raped so they can get across the border. It's horrible. And no, the answer isn't just open the border. Let's regulate the border. It's like my house. You want to come to my house? There's a fence, there's walls, and there's a front door that's locked. And after we come to terms of who you are and are you invited, I unlock the door and I bring you into my home. Otherwise, I don't just leave the door open all the time. Get animals and criminals in there. And then we have a problem for my family. So I live on a border state, and Pope Francis, I want a wall. And Pope Francis, you have a wall. Vatican City has a wall. People say, oh, it's medieval, it's old. Well, it's a wall, it's there. And guess what? There aren't any immigrants living in Vatican City. I challenged everyone last week. Go to St. Peter's Plaza. Go to the obelisk and run to your right. There's a staircase past the metal detector. Run as hard as you can to that metal detector and run up the stairs and see what happens to you if you try to invade into Vatican territory. See what happens to you. Run as hard as you can to St. Marta's, where Pope Francis lives, and see what happens to you. You may not leave alive. They do have guns in Vatican City. I know you're not supposed to have guns, and guns are evil and all that, but Pope Francis is surrounded by guys with guns. So, we don't have walls. Pope Francis has walls. But bridges. By the way, this is an appeal to the book, or maybe it's a common refrain in the left. Cardinal Tobin uses it, Cardinal Supich, Francis, James Martin, of James Martin's book, which is endorsed by Cardinal Tobin. Let me pull it up here. Oh, wow. Look what it's called. Oh, Kevin Farrell's on the cover. Wow. This is Welcome to Catholicism in 2020 in the mainstream diocesan realm. Building a Bridge, James Martin S.J., author of The Jesuit Guide to Almost Anything, subtitle, How the Catholic Church and the LGBT Community Can Enter into a Relationship of Respect, Compassion, and Sensitivity. Notice the rainbow water color across the front. So when you realize James Martin, who's on the dicastery, that is the committee for communication of Pope Francis for Rome. Do you know that? James Martin is an official communications officer for Rome. When you realize James Martin wrote the book called Building a Bridge, and then you look at the Pope's tweet here, I invite you not to build up walls, evil Trump, but bridges. Yay, good James Martin. To conquer evil with good, I like that. Offense with forgiveness, I like that. And to live in peace with everyone, I like that too. I like that too. I just don't like the first part because last time I read the book of Revelation, the apocalypse, the kingdom of God had walls around it. You know, like when you go to St. Peter's Gate, because there's a wall. We just, yesterday, the day before, there was the Matthew 25 parable of the virgins. And the groom came, Jesus, and they weren't ready. And the door was shut. And they were outside. They couldn't get in, outside in the darkness. There is an exclusion. We choose the exclusion. God doesn't enforce the exclusion on us. We choose the exclusion. And we can be locked out forever. This whole Balthazarian, Bishop Barron, dare we hope that all men be saved, is false. I heard a Catholic priest on Sunday, praise God, say that the Balthazarian, Barron thesis is false. Don't believe in it. Thanks be to God. Are y'all going to good masses? Do y'all have good priests? They don't just fall in your lap. It's going to take some time. You're going to have to talk to people, do some Google searches. You're probably going to have to drive 30 minutes, 40 minutes, an hour, hour and a half. Some of you drive 2 hours. I've met people that drive 3 or 4 hours. It's going to take some work. And that brings me to my last point. What do we do? People all day, Marshall, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And then one person said, why are we allowing this to happen? I didn't respond to that person, whoever you were. But I wanted to respond this way. Why are we allowing this to happen? I'm not. What are we going to do about it? I don't know. Maybe pray the rosary every day. Maybe pray a novena. Do you fast one meal every day? That's how you fight this war. Unless you're a cardinal or someone very important in the Curia in Rome who can get to the Pope, unless you're that one of those people, you have to do the grunt work of the infantry, and that means pray your rosary every day. You're not on the team. Read the Bible. Catechize your family. Love your wife. Love your husband. Take care of your vocation. Do the right thing. Avoid the occasions of sin. You know, I mean, it'd be great if we could go to the Pope. I went to the Pope a year and a half ago. I didn't really throw down rebukes, but I did give him the book. I gave him Infiltration. He seemed interested. He opened it up. He went through the table of contents. We talked about it a little bit. It's pretty cool. Hopefully he reads it. So we have to do something. Write a book. Make a video. Make a YouTube video. Tweet. But more importantly, pray and be a saint. Be holy. And teach your family and your friends. Francis talks about the importance of family. Absolutely. You know what I really wish? I said this during Amoris Laetitia, and then all these people dumped me. It would have been wonderful for a synod on the family if the Pope had said, hey, you families who are having a bunch of children and living hard, living paycheck to paycheck, but being open to life, I salute you. Well done. Good job. Hey, you young people who are mocked and are suffering because you're not sexually active, you're being chaste so that you can be a virgin until your wedding day. And I know how hard that is, but you're doing it for Jesus. I salute you because you're doing something heroic in the church. All you priests out there who live chastely, are truly celibate and dedicate all your energy and power to the ministry and to the gospel and the church, I salute you. But we didn't hear that. We heard, hey, we got to make plays for, you know, all these other things. What we really need to be talking about is, can divorced and remarried people receive communion? That's what we should be talking about. And now, Should we be talking about how to secure and save the baby in the womb, or secure and save traditional marriage in law? No, we got to make sure that same-sex attracted persons receive civil unions protected by law. That's what Pope Francis wants to do right now. And he also wants to make sure that when you come to Rome, that you are able to get souvenirs that look like this. No, Blessed Mother. We're going to give you Pachamama, Pacamama. This is what he's up to, and it's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. Now, a friend of mine said, how can are our masses even valid? Of course the masses are valid. All right. And then I also reminded my friend, in the 1300s, people went decades without knowing who the true Pope was. Decades. Are you ready for that? Can you go 25 or 30 years in this confusion? Because God may be calling us to that. God may be calling us to live in this confusion for decades. Dramatic voice, decades. What if this isn't cleaned up in 5 years or 10 years? It's still possible to raise your children as Catholics. It's still possible to be married in a traditional Catholic nuptial mass. It's still possible to get a requiem mass, but you're going to have to work for it. And this is why I tweeted out today, go find a traditional Latin mass and a traditional priest. And just wearing a cassock ain't trad. Let me tell you that. I met a lot of fake trad priests. It's not about lace per se or Latin per se. It's about the faith, and it's about Jesus Christ. And it's about believing, faith and works, James chapter 2. Faith and works and penance. And I'll tell you, being a Catholic right now is hard mode. We are on hard mode. You don't have time to binge Netflix and play video games. You don't have time for that. You need to read good books, the Bible. You need to pray the rosary. If you are praying the rosary for 15 to 20 minutes a day, just do that. Just do that. That's the bare minimum. I was in confession last week. No. A few days ago. And at the end of the confession, the priest said, are you praying the rosary every day? I said, yes, Father. He goes, good. I like that. I like that the priest did a little checkup on me. And this wasn't fake. He didn't know who I was. Maybe he recognized the voice. I don't know. He didn't know who I was. But he's doing a little checkup. It's like when you go to the doctor and the doctor says, now you taking a daily vitamin? Yes, doctor. Okay. You getting some regular exercise? Oh, yes, doctor. Okay, good. Keep that up. We'll see you in 6 months. Good. That's kind of how it is when you go to confession. Dump all your sins. Repent. Go and sin no more. But I like the priest. Like, you praying the rosary every day? Yes, Father. Okay, good. See you next time. I like that. Maybe if priests are watching, maybe they can drop that into their little ritual. Hey, at the end of the confession, you know, go, your sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Oh, by the way, you praying the rosary every day? Well, every couple days, Father. Okay, well, make sure you get on that rosary every day. You got it? Okay. Go get them, champ. All right, pray the rosary. Because we're being chastised. If you read that's why I say read the Bible. If you read the 12 minor prophets, you realize that when the people of God, the Old Testament church, whenever they worshiped idols and the priest often led them into idols and they engaged in fornication and sexuality. You know, in the Old Testament, the idols had temples and the temples had temple prostitutes. Did you know this? So the liturgy, part of it is you would bring an offering to the pagan temple, grain, animals, money, whatever. And then part of what you receive for your payment is you got to spend time with some of the clergy. And there were male temple prostitutes and female temple prostitutes. And you could engage whichever ones you want. And by fornicating with these temple prostitutes, you were made one with the god or the goddess. That was the idea, right? There's this communion rite. It's totally perverted, totally wrong. In the Old Testament, the people of God were tempted, especially as they were agrarian. Hey, we need rain. Hey, we need to get our farm going. I'm going to go to one of these temple, pagan temples, and let's get some rain going. Let's get some good forecast going. And you get to have some fun. It's kind of like, you know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. What happens in Canaan stays in Canaan. They go to these things, and it's debauchery, and there's alcohol, perhaps ancient forms of narcotics, and temple prostitution. It's a big party. It's a big rager at the temples. When the people of Israel did this, God would raise up prophets. Sometimes they were priests. Sometimes they were not priests. He would raise up prophets, and the prophets would say things like this. Hear the voice of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, you have sinned. You have turned away from your groom, from your husband God, and you have turned away and fornicated with the idols. Repent, or these things are going to happen to you. And these things are illness, people getting sick, famine, and military invasion and destruction. That's what happens to people. We had Pachamamas a year ago. We got sick. We've been sick ever since. The whole globe's been sick. It's like this picture here, but sick. And guess what else happens? People can't worship. In the Babylonian captivity, God brings the Babylonians in, and they destroy the temple. They destroy the liturgy. They destroy the priesthood. You want to worship God? Tough. You denied me, and I'm taking away true worship and liturgy from you. God did that. That's who God is. God did that. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. We are being chastised. And I'm here to tell you, it could be decades. Catholics have done it before. We had the Avignon Papacy, then we had the Great Schism. We had three guys claiming that they were popes. One was a real, two were fake. People didn't know. Even St. Vincent Ferrer followed the wrong pope. It was a confusing time, but he was still a saint. People were still holy. People were still going to mass. People were still praying the rosaries. People were still having babies, baptizing babies, raising kids in the Catholic faith. Men were still going into the priesthood and being ordained, but it was a confusing time. So that's where we are right now. And I want you to take heart and be not afraid. Everything that we need to be saved is given to us. Our Lady came down in 1917 and gave us the three secrets of Fatima. And I think the third secret is happening right now. John the 23rd did not want to reveal that secret. He says, not for my time. All of that, by the way, if you want to get clued in on this whole history, what's going on? I don't get what's going on. Why is the Pope saying this? Read this book. And if you think I'm just trying to sell you a book and I'm a bad person, just get it. Borrow it from a friend or get it from the library. It's at most libraries now. Get it from the library. That way you give me $0 if you think I'm trying to swindle you on a conspiracy theory, and I'm not. Get this book. Because you'll see that going back into the 1800s, there were warnings. Our Lady of La Salette, St. Pius IX, then Leo XIII, Pius X, then Our Lady of Fatima. All these things happen, and it's all warning us this is going to happen, even that we will have a corrupt pope who undermines the true faith. It's all documented. That was planned. Do you realize in the 1840s and 1850s, it's written down, documented? The whole document is in the back of this book. So we can't be surprised that we're living in it. We were warned. You were warned. You just didn't have the info. So don't lose heart. Understand what's going on. Don't leave Jesus for Judas. Don't leave the church. Don't get up on the Ark of the Ark of Noah and get on the high dive and jump off the Ark of Noah into the ocean where you're going to die. Stay on the boat. Even if the lions and the elephants are running around, stay on the boat. That's the safe place. And then it's going to be confusing. It's going to be confusing. You're going to have friends who say, I'm just going to go with Francis and be liberal. I'm pro everything now, LMNOP. Okay, you're going to have friends who do that. You're going to have friends who just give up and leave the church. You're going to have friends who become Eastern Orthodox. You're going to have friends that go back to Protestantism. You're going to have friends who go sede vacante. You're going to have, and maybe, who knows, maybe we all will. Who knows what God has planned? You're going to have disagreements over things in traditionalism. It's going to be a hard run. We're going to have battles amongst traditionalists over, can we have communion in the hand in the Latin Mass? Can, what if they make us have altar girls in the Latin Mass? What if they say you can't have Latin Mass for the next year on trial? What are we going to do? All those things. Those are all real possibilities. But we're going to have to fight it. And the best way that we can fight it, especially if you're a sweet, holy grandma or grandpa, as you rattle those beads, pray that rosary. If you're a young mom, you get out that Baltimore Catechism and teach your kids the catechism. Dads, teach your kids the catechism. Read the gospel passage for Mass. When you finish dinner, pull it out and read that paragraph from the gospel. Make it a family tradition. Make Sunday special. What I'm saying is be Catholic. And by be Catholic, I mean concentrate on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the center of everything. Focus on Jesus, you're going to make it to heaven. We don't know what's going to happen. Could it be the end of time? It could be the end of time. Could we have 30 years of confusion over heresy, confusion in Rome? Cardinals fighting cardinals, bishops fighting bishops. Could we have two conclaves when this pope dies? Conservative cardinals electing one pope and liberal cardinals electing another pope. That could happen. But we got to stay tough. Don't be afraid. Strengthen your heart. Be the man. Be the Maccabee. So that's it. All right, I'm going to close in prayer. We'll pray the Ave Maria. We'll pray to our Lady, our Queen, our Mother. And we're going to offer this one up for Pope Francis Bergoglio. All of us. How many do we have? 9,000 people. 9,000 people. We're all going to say a Hail Mary for Bergoglio, that he leads in truth. If there's anything bad there, that it's expelled, that our Blessed Mother looks down upon him with the gaze of a loving mother, but also a mother who wants to protect her kids and her babies. Oremus. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Almighty God, we pray for the Pope. We pray for the Church. We pray that you would strengthen our hearts. Give us a greater share of the Holy Ghost, that we will be saints, and please use us in any way that you desire to bring about truth and goodness. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Saint Joseph, pray for us. All right. Well, that's a show right there, everyone. Pray the rosary every day. If you're not on the team, rattle those beads. Every single day, rattle the beads. And if you like this show, hit the like button. I don't like what I'm talking about. I was like, I was going to talk more about more info on the Satanism of the priest and the two women. Just know that it's Satan and it's evil. But this came up, so I did this show instead. I don't like talking about this. So when you hit like button, doesn't mean you like the topic. I don't like the topic. please share it on Facebook. Like I said, all these videos get throttled and restricted on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter. So please manually share it. Hit the share button and then share it. If you're new, subscribe. Hit the bell. That way you'll be notified every time I go live. I am live right now. So if you hit subscribe and hit the bell, you'll be notified next time, which will probably be tomorrow. Usually around 2 o'clock Central, but it moves around. That's why you should hit the bell. Okay. Don't lose heart. Encourage one another. Pray for each other. And remember, our Lord Jesus Christ said, you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty. God bless and Godspeed.